Hey y'all, this is Stacy Blake with Fresh Oil Ministries, and it's a brand new season, a brand new day. Things are expanding, things are taking place, and I'm telling you, the excitement is totally authentic here at Fresh Oil. We want you to know how much we love you all, and we are going to bring you the most up-to-date conversations that you've heard in a long, long time. We hope that they'll encourage you, and we want them to bring you joy, and most of all, we want them to bring you closer to Jesus. So, we have a very special guest here in the studio. So, hang out with us. Welcome to Fresh Oil, everyone. We're back again on our season called Reality Check, and I am talking to some wonderful guests today in the studio that are from God's House of Hope in Kilmichael. I usually get the opportunity to interview and have conversations with the ladies, but I have a wonderful privilege today to speak to a couple of the men in-house today. Welcome, guys.
My name's Austin, and it's nice to be here today.
My name's Skylar. And it's good to be on the show.
This is going to be something new and different that you guys. Have y'all ever done an interview? No. Okay, well, this is the fun part about it, is lots of people are listening to you, but you can't see them. Amen. So isn't that cool?
Cool.
That was my favorite part of being in radio for 20 years, that I could be in this one little room and talk as much as I wanted, and nobody ever had a look at me.
That is cool.
Or I didn't have a look at anybody. So it's not as intimidating.
That's cool, yeah.
Scholar said, thank God. Oh, it's that's great. I always like to try to start with something to kind of break the ice a little bit. So I'm going to ask you each like a this or that question, okay? Austin, would you rather be in summer or winter?
Winter.
Oh, that says a lot about you. What about you? Would you rather have milkshakes or sodas?
I have to say, probably a good milkshake.
Ooh. Now, look, I shouldn't have said that. Now I want one. You know, I shouldn't have said that for sure. What about you, Austin? How about, would you prefer blue or black?
Blue.
Ooh, colorful person. I like that. Okay. What about dogs or cats?
Dogs all the way.
All the way. Give me five on that one. That's right. Yes. I'm all about the puppy dogs. What about, this is going to be, I'm going to ask this of each of y'all, and I don't know how this works around here, but Austin, what about you? King James Version or New Living?
I like the King James. I just got a new one.
Oh, you like the King James. King okay, James Scott, version. What about you?
I would have to say New King James, mm-hmm. but I like the NLT also.
NLT is one of my favorites. I've recently like discovered that. And man, I love the way it says things. It's so plain.
I like the way it's worded and whatnot.
Right.
I
read one of my verses today, and it said, it was Joshua 1:9, and it says, you know, I'll be with you. In the King James, it says, whithersoever thou goest. I'm like, I don't say whithersoever. Yeah. Ever. I will never say that in my life. And but you read the NLT, it's like, wherever you go. I get that. I can understand that, but wrapping my mind around whithersoever, I don't know.
I like the King James because it makes me interested in reading them words like knoweth and seeth. And
I like to have that and compare it to the other one, you know, so we don't lose anything.
The message is good, too, you know.
The message is good. It's different. I have trouble
I got a verse
that.
In there if you
You like that one, too?
I got a verse in
Well, listen, y'all, before we ever started the show, they were quoting scripture to me, so I told them I was going to let them do that today and impress you guys because I am totally impressed with the whole house, with what everybody can come up with a scripture to say. They all do it at lunchtime usually or at
every meal.
So every table has to say a scripture, and I think that's phenomenal because it keeps you on your toes. Essentially,
yes,
keeps the word hidden in your heart, you know. So what would you say your like favorite Bible verse was?
I'm going to say it's going to be Matthew 10:32, and this is coming out of the message. It's going to say, stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32.
Oh, I like that. I like the way that says that. Wow. What about you, Skylar?
I would have to say, and this one really sticks out to me, for one, because I go by Skylar. That's my middle name, but Timothy is my first name.
Okay.
But 1 Timothy 4:12, and I'm also only 22.
Okay.
So let no one despise your youth, but be an example to all believers in what you say, the way you live, in faith and love and in purity.
Wow. Y'all, now I know all y'all out there are going, that's a lot of words. And it is. That's a lot to remember. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible tells us that we need to hide his word in our heart so we don't sin against him. If you just know what it says in your heart,
that's right.
You don't have to always run and turn the pages of the Bible to go, oh, wait, did I do that wrong? You just know in your heart. You've hidden it in your heart. And, you know, if there ever is a time in this world where they take away our Bibles, And it could happen.
It could happen.
If they do, you've taken that word and you've chewed on it a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you remember it and you can stand on it. And nobody can take it out of your mind. Mm-mm. Nobody can take it away from you. Isn't that a great thought?
It is.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, nobody can take my salvation.
That's right.
Nobody can take my Jesus. Nobody can take my Bible. As far as it being in my head.
Yeah.
So that's the way we have to look at it, you know, and just kind of hold on to that and know that we know what the Word of God says. If you want to know the will of God for your life, it's literally right in front of you.
Amen.
You don't have to beg and plead with God and all that, oh, God, I don't know what you want me to do. Well, sure you do. It's right there.
Yeah, that's right. There
just read it.
That's right.
That's it, you know. Yeah. And then your calling is a whole different story. He'll tell you then what to do.
Yeah,
so it's just, he will. Absolutely. That's awesome. Excited to have you guys in here today. I want to know a little bit about you both. And I think that you both have told me that you're on staff right now. You're junior counselor, Austin.
Yes, ma'am.
And Skylar, you are?
I'm actually the grounds and maintenance overseer.
Okay.
Right, that's what I'm walking into right now.
Okay. So that's a big job.
Yeah, it is. It is here right now.
Well, right now this season, right?
Yeah. I got it about probably a week and a half ago. It's just a lot to take a hold of.
It
you
is.
Know, but like out there, when I was out there, you know, it kind of puts me back into where I'm used to.
Yeah.
You know, where I used to turn wrenches and be a mechanic. So
man, I wish
like
my husband
be.
Was here. He is a mechanic. That's really? Exactly what he says. I turn wrenches. He's a diesel mechanic. And I'm like, boy, you sounded just like him. He's going to be so sad he didn't get off work in time to come. But that is, you have to be doing something. If you're like me, I like to be doing something.
Yes. Yeah, that's
you know,
that's true.
And yeah. Here at God's House of Hope, they take you at your lowest point. And you're ready to make a change.
Yep.
You've decided, you know, not necessarily willingly all the
that's
time.
True.
That's
you
true.
You know, I don't really want to be there, but I guess I'm going to go or I'm going to go to jail.
Yep.
I mean, literally, those are some of the choices that some people have had to make.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, not everybody, but.
I had to make that choice.
You did?
Yeah. That's what, up until about 5 months and 2 weeks, like, my mind was dead set on, you know, going home. But after. You know, my mind was telling me that, but my heart was like, these brothers need me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really make a difference here. You know what I mean? I never made a difference really out there in the world.
Right.
In a good way, at least, you know, in a positive manner.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you get, he's, you know, kind of like Austin.
That's I'm going through that same thing. Like,
it's crazy, man. Him's in here together, you know, getting this privilege, you know, and just really being able to speak out something, you know what I mean?
Because he's really been a light to me, and we've been a light to each other, you know. Like, when I was feeling down, like, you know, not wanting to be here, like you just saying. And he's always helped me through it, and, you know, and we've helped each other through it.
Well, he was here a little while before you came in.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And I think you said you've been here about 8 months, somewhere around there, and you've been here about six months, Austin.
Yes, ma'am.
And being away from your family, and I know that I've spoken to several people in here that necessarily didn't have any family to be away from.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were okay with that because there was nobody to go home to, you know, or answer to or whatever at home. But when you leave your family, and, you know, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, but a lot of times, and I've had a child that's been on drugs and different things, so I understand, you know, what it's like as a mother to not know what to do. I don't know how to fix him. You know, I had to turn him over to Jesus and him beg not to have to go to a facility or whatever. But, you know, you are sometimes kicked out by your family, and they said, I've had enough. I can't do anything else with you. I can't help you. And I have always been... And didn't realize it till lately. I was an enabler and not meaning to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would always sort of just save him and go, oh, well, come on.
Yeah, pull him out.
You know, and Mama, I just want the best for him. And I always thought that was the only way he could get that was for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if I held him and I kept him from trouble and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And thank God he has been clean and sober for over a year. But it's like, you
thank
know.
God. Praise
oh,
Lord.
I know. It's just one of those things. And you guys can't have a clue what a mother is because you're not a mother.
Yeah.
But knowing that your son is in this kind of trouble and there's nothing you can do because you're grown. You make choices. Austin, how old are you?
I'm 35.
You're 35, and you said you were 22?
22, yes, ma'am.
Gosh, Skylar, my goodness. My son's age. He's 23. So
he's young.
He's like my young, and you're like my baby. But it's like, I know it was a hard thing for y'all to come in. You know,
ma'am.
Did you come in on your own free will, or did you have a choice? Either you're going to jail, or I know you said, Skylar, you were going to jail, right?
I was court ordered here for 6 months, and then it ended up, you know, something just told me, you know, it was really the Lord.
Yeah.
Just told me, like, you're needed here.
Yeah.
This is it for you, you know, for now.
Yeah.
Know, for a season.
Sure.
And then once I get done growing in this environment,
that's right,
he'll move me to the next one, and I
that's
just continue
it.
To grow, you know?
Boy, I love that attitude. Man, that's awesome. I'm gonna bring my son, let's rub off on him a little bit. You know, he's enduring in this season. I have to try to remember to tell him it's just a season. It's not your whole life. Don't worry about it.
It is.
You're
going to
go
season.
Through something. Austin, did you have a choice in being here?
Yeah, I had a choice, but before I come here, I was locked up for 2 months, and that's where I really met God. But I really, really met God in here because,
yeah.
It's this wonderfulest place I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you want to change your life, God's house of hope is where you want to be.
Yeah,
at.
Yeah.
But I was in there, and there was a guy, he was a constable. He was a deputy sheriff. He'd come down there and preach every Wednesday and Sunday, and he got me really into the Bible. You know, I got my first Bible I ever started just reading. It was an ESV study Bible.
That's a good one.
And, you know, I just fell in love with the Lord there, and I knew I needed to change my life, you know, and so I just called down here, and you know, and they told me this was a good place to come. So
wow, so you did it on your own.
I called
you said,
it on my
I've
own. Yeah, I didn't have to come here. I did it on my own.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, when it's a choice and you make the choice to go, I need help.
Yeah,
yes,
ma'am. I mean, it's hard to do, you know, and,
right.
And it's hard to. Being honest with you, it's hard to be here sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's your flesh that does that. It ain't the spirit, because God has done so much for me through this place, you know. If it wouldn't been for this place and God, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Like, my ways have changed. Like, my heart is different. Like, I love everybody. I want to help somebody any way I can.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just do anything I can for somebody.
Absolutely.
Because the Lord has done so much for me. Like, and, you know, I don't do drugs. Don't care for drugs no more. I just want to be, you know, live for the Lord and be happy in life. That's all I want to do.
That, you know, that's what you got to strive for, is to live for Him every day. He didn't ask you to be perfect. He doesn't ask you to do everything right.
Yes,
he just asks you to do what you can and then let Him do the rest. You know, He needs to be the one that strengthens you. He needs to be the one that carries you.
Yes, ma'am.
True.
You know.
And then know His word more. You know, study His word more.
Absolutely.
Know His word more.
Yes.
And then yes. Just live for God and everything else will be added.
You know, sometimes I think that we complicate what the Bible says do, and we complicate salvation. We complicate, you know, how to live and all of that. And it's really simple. It's right there literally in the Word of God. And what I do know is God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to change. He hasn't changed since the beginning of time. He's not going to change now.
That's right.
He's certainly not going to change to suit us and what we need.
Yeah.
He's gonna be the stable part of our life that we know we can rely on.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't have that. They don't have that stability. So they do turn to drugs or alcohol or other things. There's so many other things besides just drugs and alcohol, y'all.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, I never want to make the assumption that everybody is in here just for one of those two things, because it's not necessarily so. You know, people have nervous breakdowns. People have mental issues. People have all sorts of things that they can't handle that life is thrown at them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to handle it is Jesus. That's it. That's the only answer.
Yeah.
That's it. And so when the Bible says that He's the way, He's the truth and the life, when you look at Him being the way, you know, to me, He's my way for everything.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, He's my guide for everything that I do. He's the truth. If I need to do something and I need to find the truth, and He's how I measure that truth.
Absolutely.
And He is my life.
Absolutely.
And He sustains my life. He's the only way I have life at all. Apart from Him, I am nothing. Apart from Him, I am zero. I can't do anything away from Him. I can't be anything. There's nothing about me that's good apart from Him. And when we realize that, when we really realize that, then it makes us look up and go, okay, well, I have nowhere to go but up, you know.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go back for, like, I'm kind of rewind a little bit, and I'm gonna ask you, Skylar, since you've been here a little bit longer, I'm going to ask you to tell me a little bit about your life. And I want the listeners that are hearing us to know that there's hope, you know, that if you can go through whatever it is, that they can make it. To not to give up. Absolutely. I want your life from the beginning, and just kind of give me a story up until now.
Okay, so my name's Skylar, and I'm 22, and I'm from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And it really all, about 13 is when it really all started, and I kind of just, my parents got divorced, and my dad was always running around. He did a lot of gang banging and stuff like that, and it just wasn't a real good time, you know, when I went, when they started going through the divorce and whatnot. Anyways, long story short from that part, you know, kind of jumping forward a little bit, when I was 16, I had met my, what is now my ex. I had met her at in high school. I was in 10th grade, and she was in 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long, it just took, it took me down a long, dark road.
Really?
For 4 years. We stayed together for 4 years. And pretty much, you know, she was just cheating on me, doing a lot of stuff. You know, just, and I kept trying. I was the only person that really gave her effort. You know, I was the only, I did everything I could to support her. I worked. You know, and I was also, at 13, I started smoking weed, too. But, and so about 16, that's when I started getting heavier into smoking weed.
Okay.
And that's all I did back then. And that led up to 2017, she had left me again. And we're kind of off and on, you know what I mean, just back and forth. And in 2017, she had left me in, I think it's October. And I was working at Kubota at that time, and I didn't know what to do. I was really just ready to end it. I was ready to go, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I started taking Xanaxes.
Oh, wow.
And so I was taking, like, 5 or 6 Xanax bars a day.
Oh, my.
And on top of that, like, I had a buddy that was telling me that he had muscle relaxers, so to say, and they actually ended up being methadones. And if you know anything about, like, stuff like that, or the listeners, you know, like, you're not supposed to mix Xanaxes and methadone.
Okay.
No, it'll kill you.
I had a buddy. Wow. I had a buddy that his dad took one Xanax and one methadone and died. Had a heart attack.
So what is methadone? Can you explain what that sort of simply what that is?
It's like a barbiturate / opiate. It's kind of like a. I think it's kind of like a Suboxone mixed with.
It's a synthetic heroin.
Okay, now see, now that heroin. I understand. A synthetic, I've heard of that a lot.
It is.
In different people.
Yeah.
So that's pretty major.
Yeah, and then, so I start taking, like, he was selling for 2 apiece, and I was getting, like, 3 or 4 of them a day, as well as taking 5, 6 Xanax bars. And I was just out there. I started falling out places. I started just going crazy, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like,
but God. My goodness.
It was but God. And then that led up to, in 2018, January 21st, 2018, I had my car wreck when I had my best friend named Trayvon in there with me. And when I got baptized at Grenada,
yeah.
That was part of my testimony on that little card,
yes,
you know. But
yes.
Anyways, I had that wreck in 2018, January 2018. My best friend had passed away in the wreck. It ended up, it broke his back. It snapped my wrist. And I just had a bunch of scars and stuff. So that was another but God moment. And I had
Absolutely.
A picture also.
Yeah.
I had
Amen.
A picture that you can see the car, like, instead of I hit the tree going 120.
Oh,
my God.
And instead of hitting the tree, like, head on like this, it rolled up. I hit a ditch, went 6 feet in the air. It rolled, the car rolled up, and it smashed the top of it on the tree instead of hitting it like this.
Oh, my goodness. Because it would have killed you if you'd hit it straight
down.
Yeah,
but
oh
only reason they said the only reason I lived was because I my seat broke. But after they put my car on the wrecker, like, my mom had a picture that said, "In God I Trust," on the right under the car. I actually got
that's
picture.
That's why I live.
Yes. Wow.
But that happened, and then shortly after that, the state picked up charges on me for manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ADOC ended up sending me to Kilby for about, I got manslaughter charges, and I got 2 years with good time, so I only did 11 months and 3 days. But that's a blessing, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It really is. Like, but a big part of my testimony is while I was locked up and whatnot, like, my ex was kind of still with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, man, she came back after
sure.
the wreck. And there's a whole lot bigger backstory behind it, but I ain't going to take too long on it. You know, like, a lot of people around where I'm from say that she and her boyfriend at that time ran us off the road.
Because
that morning I didn't take nothing. I wasn't on nothing.
Yeah.
My blood alcohol level was 0.01, which is like a shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
absolutely.
I was just on weed. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to glorify weed or nothing, but, like, I could drive. You know, like, I knew I could drive on weed back then. Anyways, you know, so... long story short about that, like they said, my ex had ran me off the road and her boyfriend at that time. Mm-hmm. That led up to me going to the county. She stayed with me. I went to the court Wednesday, got the 2 years. That Saturday, she was with the same dude that she was before the wreck, turned around, dropped me. So here I was in the county, lost, hopeless, didn't know what to do.
Wow.
You know, like I had my family and whatnot, but I just, that was my family.
Yeah.
My ex, she was my best friend. Yeah. She was my, you know, just my all.
Sure.
And kind of long story short, I was about, she left me for about a month, dropped me completely, came back. And about, we talked off and on while I was in the county for about 6-7 months. And then I was 3 months from coming home, and her cousin, we had these little chirp things you could text on in the county.
Uh-huh.
And her cousin texted me one day and was like, "Sky, I need to talk to you." And I was like, oh, you know, like, oh, Lord, you know, somebody says that, you're like, oh,
you know,
Lord,
something's going, know, right? Something's happening. Yeah, something's happening.
I called her. I mean, I got on the wall phone. I called her. She said, "Skylar." She said, "Ashton's pregnant by another dude."
Oh,
and I broke.
I bet you did.
It killed me because I had my whole life planned out. Like,
well,
I still had my job at home. Like, I was God blessed me enough to hold my job for a whole year when I was working on cars.
Right.
I did so good while I was working with him that he held my job for a whole year.
Man.
And it was just him and his brother, you know. I was making good money and stuff. And anyways, so go to prison. Get on, like, that's when I got on meth.
Mm-hmm.
I got on meth in prison. Up until that point, I never did nothing except Xanaxes and weed. And then I went to prison, got on meth, started smoking Brown Clown, which is tobacco sprayed with roach spray or algae eater. And it just started, it really got into my brain, I guess you could say, you know. And finally, thank God I made it through prison. Like, it was nothing but God.
God, yeah. But God.
Because first time I ever was in trouble, first time I ever went to jail, first time I ever even called a charge, I went to prison.
That's right. I'm just going to send you on. We're not going to let you stay in the little bitty house.
Yeah,
we'll send you to the big house.
And I was blessed, you know. I really was. And then you got the latter part of my testimony, I guess. Is when I got home from prison, I was really trying to be somebody that I wasn't.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people out there try to put on a persona, you know, to hide from people or try to mask it up, you know. And I guess that's really what I did, because then I started I started selling a lot of weed, you know. I started selling stuff, and then I met another girl, actually, and then she she took me down through there.
She messed you up. Look at these girls now.
Tell me about it.
I'm going to pay you a good woman in, baby. I'm going to
That's always been what it was.
I'm telling you. Oh,
started selling
goodness.
Dope. And, started selling meth. And then I caught, this is another but God moment, I caught an intent to distribute charge. And normally, you know, like in Alabama, it's 2 to 20.
Oh,
felony, class B felony, 2 to 20, and they made me go to rehab for 21 days and pay like a $5,000 fine, and they dropped it.
Wow.
It didn't even go on my record.
That's big deal.
God, you know.
Man,
it's nothing but God.
That's incredible.
You know, so pretty much, like, God saved my life through the wreck. God had to pull me. It's sad how he had to pull me from my ex, but he had to do it somehow, you know.
You know, he's going to do what he needs to do to get your attention.
He sure is.
He will do it.
God is going to do it.
He doesn't. You know, I think the coolest thing about God is he just doesn't leave you alone.
He won't.
That is true.
You know, he doesn't make you do anything, but he's not going to leave you alone.
No matter
he's
how
not gonna,
much
he is
going.
Not going to let you go without realizing and knowing that he loves you.
No matter how
he
much we run.
He loves you.
Right,
man,
there.
You can run all you want to. He's still going to be in the same place.
He's right there.
He's right there.
God
he's
is
never
going
to leave you.
He's
all
good.
The
he's
time.
Good to
I'm
us.
Telling you, he is, he's just, gosh, he's my everything. And I see, I can look in your eyes and tell that he's your everything.
He
that
is.
You're not worried about the people anymore. And when we begin to realize that, you know, we can't trust anybody.
You
know,
can't.
We want to, and it's, you know, it's your human nature to do that, but it's like, you really can't trust humans. Now, you can, with me, I trust everybody, you know, but and my was like, you're going
to
get hurt. I'm like, it's okay. If I get hurt, I'll just
I used to be the same way, too.
Back,
I used to trust
you know?
Everybody.
Let everybody in.
You
and
do,
then,
and
you
then,
so many
but you learn.
Right. Yeah,
you learn. Like, you can tell if somebody, that, you know, if they really if you can really trust him or not.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Most of the time.
When you learn true discernment, and you don't know that till you get in a place like this or in a church with a wonderful pastor like we have, you know, that will teach you and show you what it really means to use that discernment and really listen to the voice of God as opposed, because it can be confusing. I mean, the devil makes sin look real, real good.
Oh, yeah.
If it didn't, we wouldn't go for it. You know what I mean? Exactly. If it looked stupid, I wouldn't go do that. No. It looks fun. I'm going to go do that. And I was always lured away by the guys. That was me. I never did drugs. Yeah. I drank like a fish, but, you know, I never did drugs. But men were always my weakness. And it was just, that's where I lost myself. And, you know, I trusted people that I shouldn't have trusted.
Amen.
know, and that happens for men and it happens for women as well. Yeah. And it's like, it's not always drugs or alcohol. It sometimes it's people.
It is, yes.
You know, and it throws you for a loop and it hurts your heart.
Hurts.
The heart really will hurt you. It'll get you depressed. It'll get you in your feelings. And like, that happened to me. Like, I got in my feelings. I was in a relationship for 3.5 years. Got engaged to this girl. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened to me.
Dude, I want you to go from the beginning and bring me on up to that point.
Okay, I'm going to bring you up to that point.
Yeah, tell me how you got started on the wrong path.
On the wrong path? Yeah. Well, I'm going to start from when my mom and my dad got divorced when I was 12 years old. My mom really just let me do what I wanted to do. Uh-huh. You know, I started smoking weed like him, like when I was about 14. Then I always had a job. I started working when I was 16 in the tater fields and cotton fields and helping these farmers around Eupora, Mississippi.
Okay.
And I helped them for years, and that's where I met my ex I'm going to tell you about. But I really didn't do no drugs or nothing. I started taking pain pills when I was about 17 or 18 years old.
Okay.
And then I met her. Later on, I met her when I was like 25, and she was actually my boss's stepsister, and who I was working for. We was doing cotton and farming cotton, soybeans, sweet taters, corn, and I was doing that, making good money. And so she had a trailer house out there, so I moved in with her. We got together, I moved in with her, and we was together 3.5 years, and ended up, I come home one day, and she was acting kind of funny, you know.
Right.
So I asked to see her phone. She asked to see my phone first, and I let her see my phone. And she just, you know how Facebook people talk to you, know.
Absolutely.
But you can tell if you send a message back or not, right? So, I said, I ain't got nothing to hide. I'll show you my phone, right? Because if I'm with somebody, that's who I'm going to be with, you know.
Of course.
So I gave her my phone, and she looked and just seen, she said, all these women been texting you. And I said, well, I hadn't texted them back. Look and see, you know.
Right.
And she didn't see, but she broke my phone anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
She broke my phone. And so I said, let me see your phone. You know what I'm saying? So I asked her to let me see her phone. She wouldn't give it to me, so I got it anyway.
Okay.
And I got it and looked on it. And she had been cheating on me with my sister's husband's son.
Great.
And you know, we had a big fuss, and I left. But anyway, and then the next weekend, I was depressed about it because I really loved this woman, you know.
Yeah.
And, I was taking pills at that time, so I went and bought me a whole bunch of pills. I bought 20 Lortab, 20 Adderall, and I was doing meth, too. I took it all at one time, right?
Oh, that's
and
bad.
They said, and I was at my grandma's house at this time, and they said, I just went out, you know, left the house, went out in the woods.
Wow.
And I went out in the woods, and all I can remember is this. I was praying to God. My heart's beating like nothing.
Absolutely.
Praying to God, please don't let me die, Lord. Please don't let me die, Lord.
Yeah.
Please, God. Next thing I know, I'm gone. I see a bright light, and I wake up. But I don't know how long this happened now. I don't know how long this happened. But I woke up, and they said, later on they found me because I wasn't in my right mind for a while,
of course.
And they found me. They say I've been in the woods 3 days. And I was like, after. But
three
I didn't.
Days.
But it took me a while to even remember that because I was like, I was so out of my head.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
You know, I don't remember none of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember going to the hospital. That's about it. Like, and I now remember them telling me what happened.
Yeah.
And so that ain't nothing but God that saved my life then. I knew that.
Absolutely.
You know, I knew God saved my life because I shouldn't be here talking to you right now.
I understand.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I've told this story to a lot of other people, but God really saved my life then, you know. But I didn't come to God then. Like, after that, I did good for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. I got me a job at a factory in Vardaman. I was working there, and I was making money. I was a wood factory in Vardaman, Mississippi, and I was making money, doing good. I did good for a while. I knew the Lord, but not like I do now, you know. Yeah. Like, the Lord wasn't nothing in my life like he is now. The Lord's mm-hmm. top of my life. Like, whatever Absolutely. I got going on, the Lord was the top of my life yeah. right now.
Yeah.
But was serving the Lord for a while. Ended up, got in trouble, went to prison for 3.5 years. I did 3.5 years in prison. All from that incident that I told you from, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I get out. I was doing meth in prison because meth was in prison. That's really where I started, got hooked on meth.
Wow.
Because that was like really the first time I tried it that happened to me, you know.
And it's not supposed to be in prison, but it's all over prison,
it's all
right?
Over there.
It's
yeah.
everywhere. Okay.
There's more drugs
that's really where
it is on the streets.
That's really where I got addicted to it at. Yeah.
Man.
And then I got out of prison I was okay for a little while. Then I started messing up again, you know. Ended up meeting another girl, fell in love with her. Ended up, she was doing meth, but she was doing it the worst way you can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shooting it up. She was shooting it up. And then she got me to doing it.
Oh,
and then I went down a real bad hill. You know, I was like, you know, I wanted to die. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? I just wanted to die.
Yeah.
Just I want to die. You know what I'm saying?
I've been there many times.
I felt, I wanted to die, but I never could. I tried and tried to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I never could do it because God didn't want me to die, because God has already saved my life one time, you know.
Uh-huh.
God didn't want me to die, you know. And so I realize that now. And but anyway, it led me up to this point to where I'm getting to here.
Yeah.
And anyway, I did that. I'd OD'd a couple times. I'm just depressed about her because she would leave and go. She was a full-blown H. I ain't gonna say the word, but she was a full-blown
H. I know what
you're
saying, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, I got, you know, real depressed about her because I cared about her, too. So, and so ended up, I come back to Newport because all my folks live in Newport because mm-hmm. I wanted to get away from that situation,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I got away from that situation and come to Newport, and I had a little stuff on me. I ended up getting caught, going to jail for 2 months, and that's when I met Lord, the Lord, and that's where I'm at today, right?
Wow!
Here.
So you had the choice to come here, and you came, and you decided
I
need some help.
Like when I was fixing to get out of jail, I said I need to go to God's House of Hope because I need to change my life.
How'd you hear about it?
There was a guy that was already here named Jake Huffman. He was
okay.
here, but he had been here before because I was locked up before, and he was here, and I couldn't come here.
Yeah.
So I already knew about this place, because I was already wanting to change my life from the before.
Yeah.
And so this time I said, I'm going to call, you know, and I called, and that's how I got in here.
And they had a room for you. That's awesome.
And I thank God for just saving my life from that day, you know, and just
mm-hmm.
just keeping me to this point. You know, I thank God for that. That's why I want to serve the Lord, whatever, you know, for the rest of my life.
And I
whatever
love to
else
hear,
matters, serve the Lord for the rest of my
that's
life.
That's it. That's the thing. I love to hear men especially say that because, you know, women are very tenderhearted and very, mm-hmm. you know, they're different. They're supposed
yeah.
to be. God made us differently.
Yeah.
The emotions that women have and the way they do things, you know, sometimes is just completely different than a man. And most men are taught that, you know, you don't need to be crying. You got to be tough,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, how to be mean, how to take
exactly.
care, you know, whatever. But you're never taught that it's okay to cry. It's okay to have feelings, and it's okay to hurt yeah. and ask for
yeah.
help and try to understand why I'm having these feelings. Why does
exactly.
my heart feel broken? Why am I allowing this, you know, to happen to myself? And most things that we go through, we allow it to happen.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
and half the time we're the cause of it.
Exactly.
You know, we've opened the
That's
door.
True.
That's true. You know?
We're the cause of it, exactly.
It's true. We put our, we always try to blame it on somebody else in the beginning.
But it ain't.
Oh, so-and-so gave that to me, or so-and-so yeah. let me use this drug, or so-and-so introduced me to this mm-hmm. person, or, you know, or whatever. And we like to blame.
Yeah.
You know, but then when we get down to the reality of it all, we can go, it was my choice.
It was my fault. Yeah,
I
like
did
what
that.
I did was my
mm-hmm.
fault. Like,
that's right.
I did that, you know, that was
yeah.
my fault. But God saved me. Like, I thank God he did, but at that time I wasn't wanting to be saved. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
And
I
you
wasn't
gotta
wanting
to want it.
But
mm-hmm.
I thank God for saving my life. Just
yeah.
like I thank God for saving his life. You know?
And see, that is that right there
that very thing, especially coming from a man, is a big deal for people to hear, because men are not supposed to be comforting. Men are not supposed to be soft, you know. But if you have a heart for God, your heart has got to be soft.
That's true.
Like, it can't be hard.
Like, we used to not be soft. Like, I know I used to not be soft. Like, you know, I wasn't no good.
Wasn't nobody going to mess with you, right?
No, well, nobody going to mess with me,
that's
I promise.
That's right. That's right.
But now I'm soft, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's God in me, you know, you know, that's the Lord that's working in me. Like, I love everybody. I want everybody to do right, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you don't do right, I still love you.
And you want to help them.
I want to help.
You want to help them. You know, we get saved and everything, but you know, we don't do anything like works, essentially, to get saved. But when we get saved, we want to do good works.
Good,
we want to do good things. You hurt when your brother hurts. If there's something wrong with him, I can just see right now that your heart would be broken too, and you want to help him through whatever it is he's going through. So when you come to these positions like you are here, and you see the people coming in, and it's a constant, it's like a revolving door right here. You got folks coming all the time. It's amazing to see the people that want the kind of help that you guys have experienced. And when they come in, you know, this place, how do you treat them? How do you feel? You know, do you feel like, man, I've been there. I remember when I was that way.
Yeah, I feel like that. And then, you know, we just try to show them we love them, you know, and, you know, God, this is a new way, but it's the best way, you know.
Yeah.
It's really changing your life, you know. You're going to get corrected. You're going to get in your feelings, because this is what this place is designed for.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in my feelings several times since I've been here.
Sure.
But, you know, it really is to change your life.
Like, it helps you see yourself.
It helps you see yourself, helps you see what you need corrected on.
That's right.
And then another thing it helps you with not wanting to do what you want to do. Wanting to serve the Lord first. Serve the Lord, and don't worry about what you got going
That's
on.
That's right. And don't worry about people and what they think about you, because you already know what they're going to say and what they're going to think when you leave here. Yeah. There's going to be ones that want to, they're just going to stand there and watch you and wait for you to fall.
Oh, I'm going to be serving the Lord. I don't care what they say.
That's exactly. You've got to have that kind of strong, bold and strong mentality about you. And you're quite a bit older than Skylar. And it's like, you know, I see both of you sitting here at different ages and at different points in your life.
Yeah.
You know, but you've been through a lot of the same things. And the style of rebellion, you know, that you guys were going through at the time.
I love him.
And that's the, you know, that's the coolest thing about all you guys up here is you learn to love each other because you get it.
That's right.
Not everybody gets it, you know. I've been through hell and back in my life, and that's why I absolutely love coming here, because I get it. I know when I see you, it's like, man, my heart just goes out to you, because I get it. I've been there. I'm 50 years old, and it's like, I've been through some things, you know.
Amen.
And it's like, man, thank God I am not doing those things anymore.
Praise the Lord. That's what I really thank the Lord for. Like,
yeah,
I don't want no drugs. Like, you couldn't make me do drugs.
You don't have any desire to have that in your life.
No desire for that
more. What about you, Skylar?
Thank God.
I ain't got no desire for drugs and stuff, but I do still have a hard time getting over my ex. You know?
Let me tell you.
It's always going to be
a struggle. You know what? That's a struggle there.
A hard hurt is a lot worse than you can put down drugs and go, oh, maybe I take them or leave them. But boy, when that woman breaks your heart, one thing is for sure. That is definitely a Jesus thing. He has got to heal your heart.
Yeah,
okay, nobody else do nothing. No. You can have withdrawals and get over the drugs and do all of the things, but it's like, man, when your heart's broken from some crazy woman.
It hurts you.
I say crazy woman, because there's crazy women and crazy men out there that will drag you through hell if you let them. You know, and it's like, I want to look at some of these women that I know, and I'm going to grab them by the shoulders and go, stop it. Don't do that. This is where you're headed. Don't do it. You know, and it's like they don't listen.
But this is the thing. Like, I pray to God for this. Like, you know, I may be wrong for praying this, but I pray to God that I do meet that right one day.
Oh, honey, that's not wrong. That's what you're supposed to do.
I pray to God that he does, too, because I love him, too, because he's my brother.
Do pray for your brother, because, you know, I pray for my kids. I have two that are married and two that are not. I have four boys, and it's like, I pray that God will send them the right woman every time. And then the ones that are already married, I pray that God will help those women to be godly women and to raise that household of children and be a good wife to my son, and he be a good father and a good husband. And I mean, pray for, pray for that. Matt, that is not wrong in any kind of way. You should pray for your
mate. I pray for that. I keep she's praying
there.
For that.
She's there. God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And he's got a plan. And believe me, honey, when you see her, you're going to know it. God's going to be like, mm-hmm, that's the one. And you'll be like, oh, Lord. You'll be like, oh, red face and you're acting like a school kid. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to be happy with this,
God. Look, I'm going to know it. I'm already here. I'm going to watch for Facebook. I'm going to talk to Rebecca. I'll be like, I need to know when these guys meet the right one. I want to see her. You know, because it's just God knows the desires of your heart. He knows that you want somebody that will love you. And, you know, there's so many people that already do, but you just want that one person in your life.
That's it.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with desiring that. And God will give you the desires of your heart. He will, especially if you've got your heart lined up.
I believe that in my heart,
yeah, line it up with the word. Line it up with the word and allow him to, and pray for that. Man, pray. Say, you know, God, I really pray that you'll send me the woman that I need in my life in your time. Don't let me get ahead of you. You be
in
the one
time,
who puts her there when
when
I need her, because he's going to fix all the things in you and repair your heart and help you to be the man that he created you to be in the beginning.
Amen,
he's
going to
help you be that person, and then you'll find her. And when you do, it's going to be like, ooh. Lord,
hallelujah.
It's going to be awesome. It is going to be. I love encouraging men and women alike because it's true. It's so true. He's going to have that one for you. He's going to have he's got a life plan for you.
I believe that in my heart. You know, like, you know, at first I didn't believe that, but like now that I know God and I know trust in God, I do believe that. I do. I believe
and, you know, it's not an overnight thing. You know, y'all been here for 6 and 8 months. It's not overnight.
No, it's not overnight.
You're still working on.
I'm still working on it,
you know, you're still working on who you are. You're working on who you are. And God is he's building you.
Yeah.
You know, he is speaking into your life. And I know this place makes sure that y'all get every kind of teaching, preaching, and everything you can think of. They are making sure that you get the right stuff.
Yeah, we got three classes every day. Like,
that's amazing.
How many classes? We got one.
We do Psalms and Proverbs every morning for about 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And that's for like the JCs and the newer people coming up. You know, they'll do their testimony first. Then they'll start doing Psalms and Proverbs.
Okay.
And then we do first class, which is about 45 minutes. We'll get up there. We'll worship, you know. And everywhere we go, we carry the worship.
Please. Let me tell you, that's one of my favorite things.
Me too.
I just like to sit back and go, look at that. I just love that so much. Y'all got the energy for me. I'm just like, thank
everybody.
You.
Hey, the Lord, even that, like
it's
the Lord.
It's phenomenal and it's real. But it's just when you can worship the Lord. The things, I keep going back to this, but the things that he will do in your life are phenomenal when you just spend time with him.
Yes, ma'am.
And you block everything else out. Sure, everything's got to go. You spend time with him. He is going to do phenomenal things in your life. He's going to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to change your heart.
Yeah.
And he's going to change everything about you. The way I remember both of you coming to the church several times,
mm-hmm.
and the way you look now is so different than when I first met you. Y'all didn't have the smiles as big, but now it's like you have this glow about you. Like you just shine for Jesus, and that is gonna attract a godly woman.
Yeah.
They're gonna see the Jesus in you before they even see you, and that's what you want. That's who you want. You want them to see Jesus before they ever see who you ever are. You know, and when they know you, and when they know your heart. Oh, my goodness, the things God is going to have for both of you, whoever they are. God is so faithful. He's faithful in everything he says, everything he does. And again, he never changes.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to change. So you don't ever have to worry about him leaving you. You don't ever have to worry about him changing his mind, because he's not going to change his mind. He's going to love you no matter what. So when you realize the kind of love that he is, the kind of love that you search for is going to be so different.
That's true.
It's going to be so different. You'll see Jesus in her before you'll even see her. I'm telling you. I'm just going to prophesy it to you right now.
Praise the Lord.
That's how. I mean, that's what it's going to be like. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to look at her and see Jesus all over her, whoever she might be, and whenever that may be. And, you know, it doesn't matter when it is. God's got a perfect timing.
Amen.
So don't ever be disappointed. Don't ever be disappointed in him, because he's always got your best interest in mind. Jeremiah 29:11, what does that say?
I declare, and I know the plans I had for you, a plan to give you a hope and a future, not a plan to do harm Monday or something like that.
Right. Yes, that's it.
I can't remember it exactly.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That's okay. I threw it on you.
That's it.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you.
I got one more verse.
Tell me another verse.
This is one of my favorite verses, too. It says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Proverbs 23:26.
That is so good, and that's so true. Just take that one thing every day. Every day. Just do that. Do you have another one that you like?
I'll tell you one that I actually have a real good story behind. You know, a lot of people might think it was crazy, but it's something that really spoke to me, and it's how I knew God was speaking to me. So, kind of the latter part of my testimony,
right
before I came here. I have to rewind just a little bit. Wade Newton, his son Lucas Newton, came here and did a lot of, like, hung a lot of these lights and stuff. And Wade was a good friend of my mama's.
Okay.
So last year they tried to come talk to me and get me to come here.
Right.
And like last September, and at that point I'm like, mm-mm. No,
I ain't doing it.
But anyways, so fast forward, and I didn't accept it that time. God had to get me down even lower.
Yeah.
So then I was in Florence, Alabama, and we'd gotten stuck in a dude's yard and late at night. Anyways, kind of long story short, anyway, I went to they put me in the cell, and they left me soaking wet for 3 days straight. It was bad, you know. I ain't going to go in the whole story. But anyways, what really stuck out to me more than anything else is when they went to put me, they took me out of the detox cell and put me into a pod above my cell, and I was the only one in this cell. Every other cell was full. It was just like, it's perfect for me. Above it said, "Belly of the Beast," in big black letters, like somebody wrote it on there or whatever.
My.
And then as soon as I walked in there, I was like, because, you know, I went to church when I was younger. My mimi always took me. And so I go in there, and I'm like trying to remember the story. I'm like, I don't know, who was it to get, you know, they got swallowed by the fish, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall it, you know. But I didn't know it at that time. So that was real profound to me. Then I went upstairs because this dude kept telling me to go upstairs. And went upstairs, and it said 1 Corinthians 13 or something like that, but love never fails.
Absolutely, yes.
So love never fails is right up there on the back of them doors down there.
Yeah.
And in the morning before I came here, or I had to be here at 12 o'clock, and it was just a God moment because my mom had gotten them to court order me. Got the RDA of our county to send it to the DA of the other county to take it to the judge all in one day to sign me over for court, and I had to be here the next day at 12 o'clock. Came and got me out at 8 o'clock that previous night.
Oh, wow.
I mean, one day moved a mountain. You know what I mean?
That was huge, yeah.
But that morning before I came here, I got on, they had these little tablets, and it was called BibleGateway.com.
Yeah.
And I got on it, I seen the app, and whatever reason, you know, I get on it. And it was James 1:12.
Okay.
Blessed is he that endures the trials and temptations I have set forth in front of him, for when the time has been approved, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Woo! That's a mouthful. You know, my favorite part of today is probably the fact that everything that y'all have talked about, everything that you have looked back on, the scriptures that you've quoted, all of the things, everything that you're saying has been... you've seen God in everything that has happened.
Amen.
Even the bad things. You saw God. You knew he was there to rescue you.
Yeah.
You knew he was there.
Every time.
Every time, yeah.
And so I can just hear the thankfulness in your voices that you are so grateful that he saved you.
Amen. You know?
He's
thank
a good God.
Another chance.
Absolutely.
He's
a God of another chance. I'm getting chill bumps. He's a God of another chance. A third chance, a fourth chance. He is a God of another chance. And I am so glad.
He'll let you run to the end of your rope.
Yeah,
he will.
He'll give you enough rope to hang yourself.
Yeah, he will.
All right.
He's like, nope, come back over here. You need to stop it.
You don't belong over there.
That's exactly right.
That's
and you know. You know where you belong.
That's true.
And I'm so glad you guys were able to talk today. Our listeners are some phenomenal people. We have folks in Africa. Germany, London, England, and all over the United States that listen. And I hope and pray that just this little bit of your testimonies will encourage somebody that is out there that may be going through some things and maybe worse than you or not as bad as you, and can realize, you know what? I see God too. I see that He saved me. I see that He's there, and He doesn't want me to go to hell. You know, so I normally have at the end of our program, I usually have someone pray us out, and I'm going to let you guys, and I know you guys are used to this, and since I have both of you, I think what I want to do is, Austin, I'll start with you, and I will let you pray for the people out there, but then Skylar, I'm going to let you pray a prayer of salvation that the people might want to repeat and be saved while they're listening. Is that okay?
It's okay.
All right, guys, I'm going to let you just go ahead. Austin, you start, and when you're done, you say amen, and then Skylar will pick up the prayer of salvation.
So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we get to share our word and our testimony with y'all. And I just thank God for the breath we breathe, Lord, and I just thank you for second chances, Lord. And I just thank you for waking us up this morning. I just thank you for your word, Lord, and I just thank you what it means to us. And I just thank you, Lord, for, just coming into our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for your spirit. And I thank you for everything, Lord. And I just thank you for everybody that's listening. And God is real, and he will change your life. And God is everything to me. And I hope y'all get something out of this today. And I just thank you, God, for you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So anybody out there that if you really just down on hope and just feel like all your joy is gone, you just feel like a disappointment in life, a failure, you feel abandoned, you feel lost, and you really just want the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to take over and just really fill you up and overflow you with the joy and become a whole new vessel for Him, I just want you to just close your eyes and repeat after me and just mean it with your whole heart, not just half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Father God, Lord, I just ask that you'll just forgive me for everything that I've done, for all the sins that I've committed, past, present, and future, for everything that I've done up to this point, everything that I will do from now on. Lord, I ask that you just come into my heart and that you'll take over not only my spirit, but my mind, body, and soul, and everything in me. I pray, Lord, that you will wash me clean with your blood, that you will allow your blood to flow over me so that I'm washed white. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you'll just come, you'll pick me up with your strong right hand, and you will save me, Lord. And Lord, I just ask for forgiveness for my sins, Lord, and I pray that you will help me repent and to turn away from each and everything that I've done and each and everything that I will do, Lord. And I just ask the Holy Spirit to come dwell into me and lead me and guide me and direct my paths and make all my ways straight, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thank y'all for listening to Fresh Oil. We love you guys so much. If you'd like to contact us, just email us at freshoil9210@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know some prayer requests that you might have. Let us know some questions that you might like to ask right here on the podcast, and we'll read those. Thank you so much again for listening, and we love you guys. Have a great one.